ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादं शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यंकरवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांतिः The essence of the Vedantic teaching is presented in this text, Vedanta Saraha, wherein we understand all the technical, basic terms we need to understand to enter into the proper study of the Vedanta. And the author introduced four factors required for the text, any textbook called Anubandha, four Anubandhaha, Chatvaraha Anubandhaha, Adhikari Vishayaha, Sambandhaha, Prayojanam. Of those four, we have covered now the first Anubandha called Adhikari. Who is Adhikari, Vishayaha, Sambandha, Prayojanam? The eligible student, the subject matter of the text, and the connections or relationship, then the benefit of the knowledge. And here the Adhikari, the first Anubandha, has been covered, where we understood the Adhikari is the one who is endowed with this fourfold qualifications called discriminative knowledge of what is eternal and what is ephemeral, dispassion towards everything else in the world, with the understanding of the limitations of everything, that nothing other than the knowledge of the truth will free one from limitations or will bless one with what one is choicelessly seeking in one's life. The third qualification we saw, the sixfold disciplines, such as the mental discipline or shamaha, called management of one's thoughts, then damaha, mastery over one's organs, sense organs and organs of actions, then uparamaha, commitment to one's duties, a total commitment to the pursuit of the knowledge, titiksha, the endurance of remaining the same in all situations, certain understanding of the nature of situations, titiksha, then Shraddha, the unflinching faith in the words of the teacher and the teaching, mainly the Shastram. The Samadhanam, the sixth discipline, is actually remaining focused in the study of the Shastram. I explained it in detail. In the last, the sixfold disciplines, Shamaha, Damaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhanam. The last one, it's a third qualification. The fourth qualification is Mumukshutvam, desire for freedom. So, if these qualifications are there, then a person is eligible for the attainment of knowledge. So this is the first topic is, with this the first topic of Adhikari is over, which is the first to Anubandha. Now we have entered into the next topic of Vishayaha. Before even we enter into the next Anubandha, the next factor of the four factors, please don't get confused here. The four Anubandhas, the four factors required for the text are different from fourfold qualifications of an Adhikari. Hope you know all those things very well. And here, before we went into this next topic called Vishayaha, here we can look into a beautiful passage from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Not the full passage, just two lines prescribed there. And also, the few, a quotation from Upadesha Sahasri. Generally, when people teach this, and they quote this, in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is mentioned, Shantaha Dantaha. Shantaha means one who has followed the discipline of Shamaha, thereby one who has become calm-minded. It's called Shantaha. So the discipline of having mastery over one's thoughts is called the Shamaha. The one who has mastery over the thoughts is called Shantaha. Shantaha means a calm-minded. Similarly, having mastery over one's sense organs is called Damaha, but Dantaha is the one who has disciplined himself, the disciplined person. Disciplined in terms of, having mastery over sense organs and organs of actions. Such a person, the Shantaha, Dantaha, the one who is, such a person is eligible for knowledge. And this Upadesha Sahasri also, there's a text called Upadesha Sahasri, a beautiful text, and where also this, who should this knowledge be given? The question comes, who is the person who deserves this knowledge? Who should this knowledge be given to? By the teacher. There again, the person who deserves this knowledge, who should this knowledge be given to, is mentioned. And there's a beautiful verse, says, Prashanta Chittaya Jitendriyaya Cha Prahina Doshaya Yathokta Karine ಗುಣಾನ್ವಿತಾಯ ಅನುಗತಾಯ ಸರ್ವದಾ ಪ್ರದೇಯಂ ಏತತ್ ಸತತಂ ಮುಮುಕ್ಷವೇ. ಏತತ್ ಪ್ರದೇಯಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ನಾಲೆಡ್ಜ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಟು ಬಿ ಗಿವನ್ ಟು ಹೂ, ಟು ದ ಸ್ಟೂಡೆಂಟ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ qualifications, who is of this attributes, who is of this qualifications, who is that person? He said here prashanta chittaha. You can understand now, the student must be prashanta chittaha. You can remember these words, it's very nice to remember these words, because when you pray also you can say, oh Lord, please make me prashanta chittaha. Nice word, isn't it? Prashanta chittaha. Chittam means mind. Chittam means mind. Prashanta means the mind which is pure, steady, which is undisturbed, tranquil. So the prashanta chittaha is prashantam chittam yasya. Prashanta chittaha is the tranquil minded. Serene minded, calm minded. The one who is disturbed, one who is distracted, one who is restless, cannot focus, cannot listen, cannot understand, cannot grasp, cannot retain. And where's the question of his contemplating upon it? Therefore, for not only for Vedantic knowledge, not only for Vedantic wisdom, for any knowledge, for us to be successful in anything, any endeavor also, we must be calm-minded, isn't it? It is very important qualification for accomplishing anything. Only then you can focus anything you need to do. For prashanta chittaha. So Lord, may I be the prashanta chittaha, calm minded, serene minded, tranquil minded. You have to remember very well, remaining tranquil minded is not moksha. In moksha, you will be absolutely tranquil and peaceful and serene. Absolute serenity, absolute tranquility will be definitely there in knowledge. Knowledge is absolute tranquility and serenity, and which is moksha. But in moksha there is absolute tranquility, but whoever is tranquil and serene is not free. Understand? You have to remember that. Therefore, but here as a the mind, how the mind must be for this knowledge, pursuit of this knowledge. So mind must be calm and serene. Therefore, prashanta chittaha. May I be a prashanta chittaha. Like that. Jitendriyaha. May I be a jitendriyaha. Nice words. Jitendriyaha means the one who has mastery over organs of actions and sense organs is Jitendriyaha. In fact, conqueror of the organs of knowledge and actions is called Jitendriyaha. But really, absolute, now one can be said to be a conqueror of mind and a conqueror of one's own sense organs, organs of actions, only in knowledge. Until jnanam, there is no, they got absolutely having conquered one's senses and organs of actions. But here, the conqueror, the jitendriyaha means, the one who has conquered his senses, sense organs, organs of actions, means one who has disciplined one who is endowed with the disciplined sense organs and organs of actions, one who is alert, one who knows what he is watching, what he is seeing, what he is hearing, what he is smelling, what he is tasting, one who is always alert of what his sense organs are involved in and what his organs of actions are involved in, what he is doing, why he is doing, he knows. Therefore, being alertful in terms of physical activity or in entertaining one's sense organs, involving one's sense organs in perceiving things. Therefore, is Jitendriyaha. So, Lord, may I be a Jitendriyaha. Understand? Please bless me to become a Jitendriyaha. It's a nice prayer to have, because these are presented here as the qualifications of a student. So, Prashanta Chittaha Jitendriyaha. Then, Prahina Doshaha means the one from whom all the doshas, impurities, such as likes and dislikes, anger, jealousy, hatred, etc., all these different impurities, the doshas, have gone. The one who is free from the impurities such as likes and dislikes. In Tamil we say viruppu viruppu, hatred, anger, fear, all these impurities. So only in knowledge one can be absolutely pure. But here, even for pursuing knowledge to become absolutely pure, one has to be relatively pure, isn't it? If you are Shantaha, and you are definitely what? Prahina Doshaha, the one who is free from impurities. So here, O Lord, may I be the Prahina Doshaha, may become free from all impurities, pure-minded. So calm-minded, tranquil-minded, is also what? Pure-minded. Which means no more, this the one who is no more disturbed by his own thoughts. Therefore, Prahina Doshaha. Then, Yathoktakari. Yathoktakari means Yatha Uktam Tatha Karoti Iti Yathoktakari. The one whose actions or one whose behavior, one whose actions are in conformity with the teaching, the scriptural teaching, which means the one who lives a life enjoined by the scripture, one who lives a life of values. One who understands, Yathoktakari means what? He understands living a life of values is very, very important. He knows, the person who knows the value of values, value of dharma, understands the ahimsa paramo dharma, understands the ahimsa, non-injury, non-hurting, non-violence, being the exalted of all the values. See, following one value, being committed to follow this one value, will make him follow all other values, such as speaking the truth, not telling lies, not stealing, not robbing, not hurting, not betraying. All these other values become really followed if one value is strictly understood and followed. Isn't it? It's not simply, you have to really think. So this is, the Shastram emphasizes this. This is, Shastram does not say you should, isn't it? But still it is emphasized. Therefore, knowing the value of values and one who strictly follows the life of values as enjoined by the scripture is yathoktakari. So here again, shamaha, shantaha implies what? Even the calm-minded, tranquil-minded or pure-minded, all these imply that he is yathoktakari. The one whose lifestyle is in keeping with the Vedic teaching. Yathoktakari. Then gunanvitaha. Gunanvitaha, one who is endowed with all desirable qualities. In 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, if you already read Swamiji's book on value of values, we have discussed here, haven't we? I think when I was not here, I was in India, I think I told some of you to read this book also. So here, all those values discussed there, one who is endowed with amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, kshantihi, arjavam, etc. One who is endowed with all those values, one who lives those values, one who makes effort to live those values. And second thing, one who is endowed with all desirable qualities such as compassion, kindness, etc. We say gunanvitaha. Gunanvitaha. Then anugataha. Anugataha. One who is committed to, anugataha means one who is committed to the teaching, thereby the teacher. One who does the needful in order to be committed to the teaching. Understand? It's called anugataha. One who follows what has to be followed. Anugachati. Anugataha. Such a person is what? Really a mumukshuhu. One who has burning urge for the moksha, discovering the moksha freedom. Only to such a person the knowledge should be given. This is said where? In Upadesha Sahasri. Anyway, this is what Appuji Swamiji in his this book on prayers. I think if you must read some, I've taught him many times. It is very important for us to remember here. We know we have to follow Shamaha, we have to follow Damaha, we have to follow Uparamaha, and we have to become Shantaha, Dantaha, Uparataha, Titikshavan. We have to become qualified. We have to make efforts, and along with efforts, and apart from efforts, what we need to do is definitely prayer. Mere prayer without making any efforts will not help you. But mere effort without prayer also really not enough. Because for us to become really shantaha, dantaha, uparataha, titikshavan, atitikshavati, to become qualified, we have to make deliberate efforts and with prayer. That's why, O Lord, please bless me with the knowledge of right and wrong. Please bless me with the knowledge and strength, the capacity to choose to do the right, to refrain from the wrong. Please bless me with the knowledge of what I can change, what I cannot. And please bless me with the knowledge and strength to change what I can, to prudently, intelligently, to accept gracefully what I cannot. This is I told you even my introduction to Vedanta, the classes, introductory class also, I mentioned this prayer. Here again I'm mentioning as part of this teaching, because very important for us to have this prayer specially, because it is an all-inclusive, complete prayer, which will bless you with everything, isn't it? Because the qualifications are very important for us to attain this wisdom, and we can't afford to say, oh, I'm not qualified, it will not work for it. It is natural for us not to be qualified. If we are not qualified for this knowledge, if we are not endowed with these qualifications, it's not a big thing. We should not lose our heart, lose interest in studying or anything. It's only for us to make efforts to become qualified. And for which we understand understand what we need to do, what are the disciplines to follow, and we try to do that, and along with that what we also pray so that we'll be able to become qualified. Okay. So this I want to remind you this nice word, no? Nice quotation from Upadesha Sahasri text. Okay. So with this Adhikari topic is over. Now we are entering into the next topic of Vishayaha. In Anubandha Chatushtayam, the next Anubandha is what? Vishayaha. Vishayaha means here, in Bhagavad Gita classes, when I say Vishayaha, I also said what? An object of knowledge, isn't it? Don't get confused. But here, Vishayaha means subject matter of discussed in the textbook. So you can say what the main subject matter, the main topic of the teaching, isn't it, is here said to be Vishayaha. And look into the book now, how this Acharya defines this word Vishayaha. What is this factor called subject matter of the text, any text? But here, subject matter of the Vedanta Grantha is what? Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Shuddha Chaitanyam. Prameyam. Tatra Eva. Vedantanam. Tatpariyat. He says, Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Jiva Brahma Aikyam is the subject matter of the Vedantic teaching, subject matter of the Vedantic text. Aikyam means oneness. Ekasya bhavaha. Aikyam, oneness. Oneness of what? The oneness implies here the identity between the two. Between what? Between the jivaha and Brahma. Jivaha here is the individual. Being is jivaha. And Brahma is absolute. Brahma is a term implying the absolute, ultimate reality of the whole. So Jiva Brahma, Aikya means the identity between the individual and the total is the subject matter of the Vedantic text. So, identity between the individual and the total means the essential oneness of the individual and the total is the main subject matter of the Shastra. What is that essential nature of the truth of the individual is consciousness, pure consciousness, and the truth of the whole, what implied by the term Brahman is also consciousness. So essentially, Jiva and Brahma are one and the same, which means relatively there is difference. This we have already explained this before. If there is no difference at all between Jiva and Brahma, or Jiva and Ishvara, the Lord, the whole. There is no difference at all, then we do not try to know how they are non-different. Already non-different, isn't it? If there is no difference at all, we need not make effort to know how they are non-different. And if there is only difference also, we can never say there is non-difference between Jiva and Brahma. There must be difference and there must be non-difference. There must be difference and there must be non-difference. So there must be relatively there is a difference, but absolutely there is non-difference. Therefore, this essential oneness, the essential nature of the individual and the total, are the truth of Brahman and the individual being one and the same, is what revealed by the Vedantic text. Therefore, Jiva Brahma Aikyam is the main subject matter of the Upanishad, Vedantic text, and here also. Any Vedantic text. Jiva Brahma Aikyam. The Shuddha Chaitanyam. What is the essential nature of the individual and the total? You can say pure consciousness. Shuddha Chaitanyam or Shuddham Chaitanyam. This is a fact. What is the fact? That essentially individual and the total are one and the same. Pure consciousness. Which means there is no difference between individual and the total from the standpoint of the absolute reality or the essential nature. There is seeming difference from the standpoint of relative nama-rupa. And this is a fact. And we do not know this fact. We do not know this fact. If we know the fact, then we will not see ourselves as isolated individuals, different from the whole. Every one of us, how do we see ourselves now? Every one of us now, I see myself isolated individual, different from the world. I am different from the world. The world is different from me. I am different from the Lord. The Lord is different from me. I don't even know what the Lord is. This is there. This notion is there. And not only that, we do not know the fact, the absolute fact of non-difference between the individual and the total. So this fact needs to be understood, isn't it? Because in understanding this fact, my individuality will be resolved. Unless and until I understand this fact, my individuality cannot be resolved. And unless and until I resolve my individuality in totality, I will continue to be a limited individual, a finite being with all limitations and problems. Therefore, resolving the individuality in totality is not something physically done. It is to be cognitively resolved. It's a cognitive resolution, and for which I need to understand this fact of the essential nature of the individual, the truth of myself being one and the same of the whole. And this fact, because understand this fact is my moksha, my freedom, my happiness, my limitlessness, my fullness, you know, is dependent on understanding this fact. Therefore, this fact is, so this fact is revealed by the Upanishad, revealed by the Vedantic text. Therefore, this is the main subject matter of the Vedantic text. And here the question might come. Now, the Vedantic texts do not discuss only the Jiva Brahma Aikyam. Do not discuss only the Jiva Ishvara, no, Swarupa Aikyam. They discuss so many things. So many things means what? There are so many topics discussed. The Jiva Swarupa Vicharaha, inquiry into the nature of the individual, truth of the individual. Then there's inquiry into the nature of the total, the truth of the whole. Then is it the inquiry into the essential oneness of the individual and the total. There's also what now, benefit of knowledge. Like this, many topics are discussed here. And which is, all the topics are there. How can we say this is the main topic? Because the inquiry into the nature of the individual, of course, has to be discussed. Inquiry into the nature of the total also, one truth of the total, the Lord also has to be discussed. It has to be understood. Why? Because only then we can arrive at the fact of the essential oneness of the individual and the total. Therefore, what is finally, what is the tatparyam? Tatparyam means what is that, what is it which has to be arrived at ultimately? Ultimately, finally, all other enquiries are ultimately for arriving at this fact of the essential, now the truth of the individual and the total being one and the same, okay, pure consciousness. This is what finally we need to arrive at. Therefore, the tatparyam, the aim of the Upanishad text or any Vedantic text is finally to reveal the fact of the essential nature of Jiva and Brahma being one and the same. Therefore, here it is said, Jiva Brahma Aikyam Shuddha Chaitanyam is Prameyam. And here, next, look at the next word here. Prameyam means, literally the word prameyam. Prameyam means an object to be known. Prameyam means that which is to be known is prameyam. Generally, the word prameyam is used to imply something which is an object, isn't it? That which is to be known. To be known means what? To be known means an object, something to be known. But here, even though, here this is, the Jiva Brahma Aikya Jnanam is in fact Brahma Jnanam. Brahma Jnanam is Atma Jnanam. Atma Jnanam, self-knowledge, knowledge of the truth of one's own self is in fact what? The knowledge of the truth of the whole. A knowledge of the truth of the whole is in fact what? Knowledge of the truth of the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total, and which is the knowledge of moksha, which is the attainment of freedom. Isn't it? But here we say, how do we say this, the understanding this fact of the oneness of the truth of the individual, the total being one and the same. How do we say it's a prameyam, something to be known? Here, the fact of the truth of the individual and the total being one and the same is said to be understood, isn't it? Is to be understood. Therefore, it is here, even that word prameyam, which is not yet been understood. The fact which has yet to be understood is implied by the term prameyam. Therefore, the subject matter of the Vedantic text is essential oneness of the individual and the total, or the identity between the individual and the total, which is to be known, which is yet to be understood. If you already know, then why should you study Upanishad? Why do you need the Vedantic text? You do not know, you have to understand, that is why you are studying. Isn't it? That's why prameyam. So that which has to be understood through the means of knowledge of the Shastram, isn't it? This Shastram, the Vedantic text or Upanishad or any Vedantic text which serves as a means of knowledge, pramanam. And through the pramanam, what is to be understood is prameyam. So don't take it as a knowledge of some object, but knowledge of the fact of Jiva Brahma Aikyam. So he says, Tatra Yeva Vedantanam Tatparyam. Tatra Yeva Vedantanam Tatparyam means the Upanishad, the focus of the Vedantic text is only on that topic. That is the crux topics of the Vedantic text. Finally, we are discussing sadhana, chatushtaya, sana, fourfold qualifications, shamaha, damaha, anubandaha, vishaya, all these are discussing. Finally, what should you understand from the study of the Upanishadic text or Vedantic text? What do you have to arrive at? Aikyam. Aikyam means what? Don't is one. We never become individual and the total, never unite, never merge, can never merge. Even in the Mandukya class I said, irandu ara kalathal is not possible. There's no such thing called merging. The jiva going and becoming one with the Ishvara. There's no physical activity. There's nothing physically happening here. The jiva is already one with Ishvara. Essentially, all that is here is what? Actually, one and the same reality, Brahman, the consciousness. As an individual, because of the Atma Jnanam, because of the self-ignorance, one sees oneself to be isolated from the whole. And when the wake of knowledge of the self being consciousness, understanding the truth of the whole being consciousness, one understands the fact of the essentially the truth of oneself being identical with the truth of the whole. Understand? And this is the fact, this is the knowledge which has to be finally attained through the study of the Vedanta Grantha. Therefore, because this knowledge is said to be what? In fact, wisdom. Attainment of this knowledge is attainment of wisdom. Understand? This, what is wisdom? Absolute wisdom. Okay, this Vishayaha, subject matter. Now you know very well what is subject matter of the Vedantic text. Now the third Anubandaha, the third factor required for the textbook, especially Vedantic textbook, is called Sambandaha. Sambandaha means relationship, connection. Now he is defining here, Sambandhastu Tadaikya Prameyasya Tadaikya Prameyasya Tat Pratipadaka Upanishat Pramanasya Cha Bodhya Bodhaka Bhavah. I made it very clear in my introductory talks long ago, but still I can explain here. Sambandaha. What do you mean by saying sambandaha, relationship or connection? As a anubandaha, third anubandaha, third factor involved in the textbook, he says. See, we say in, when we study the Shastram, the one who wants to know the truth is Pramata. Pramata means a knower, the subject of knowledge. Subject of knowledge is called Pramata. And Pramana means the means of knowledge. Pramanam. And Prameyam means object of knowledge. The one who wants to know and the one through which one can know, the one that by which one can know, Pramanam. Then Prameyam, that which has to be known, Prameyam. Then when a person understands what is to be known through the Pramanam, when the Pramata knows what is to be known through the Pramanam, through the means of knowledge, then what happens, what rises, what should rise in his intellect is the knowledge, isn't it? So the subject of knowledge operates the means of knowledge. Thereby, what is to be known, Prameyam, when it becomes known, then what happens now? He has knowledge, isn't it? Knowledge is called Prama. Be careful, not Brahma, Prama. Prama means knowledge. So, Pramata, the knower. Pramanam, the means of knowledge. Prameyam, object of knowledge, to be known, object to be known. And Prama, knowledge. There's another word also for Prama, Pramitihi. Pramitihi or Prama means knowledge. Now, when you study this book, you are a Pramata. You are the one you want to know. And definitely, you should know why you are studying this book, which means you understand the relationship between you and the textbook you are reading. Pramatru Pramana Sambandaha. I am interested in given knowledge, and for that given knowledge of the given thing, or for a given knowledge, I am reading this book, which is a means of knowledge. Show the connection, isn't it? Without knowing the connection, you cannot read, isn't it? Therefore, the connection, knowledge of this relationship is very, connection is very important. So, Pramatru Pramana Sambandha. Then, once I read this book as a means of knowledge, then definitely what is to be known also, to know that, what is to be known, even though I understand there is essential oneness of this identity between Jiva and Ishvara, individual and the total, essentially, even though relatively, superficially, there is difference between individual and the total, absolutely, essentially, there is non-difference between Jiva and Ishvara, there is non-difference, there is identity between individual and the total. This is a fact, and I have it to understand the fact. That fact is the Prameyam. That fact is something which is to be known. Finally, what is to be known is this fact, isn't it? Therefore, if now you understand, and for that Prameyam, to have that knowledge of that fact, I need, this is the means, isn't it? Which means you understand the connection between pramana, prameya, sambandha. Is it clear? And pramana, prameya, sambandha. Connection between the means of knowledge and the object of knowledge. It's a connection between the subject of knowledge and the means of knowledge. Then, there rises the knowledge. The prama. Then, this knowledge, why do you want this knowledge? Is it? Which means, the knowledge is going to bless me with some prayojanam. What is the benefit of knowledge? Isn't it? Therefore, there is sambandha between jnanam and phalam. There's a connection between, relationship between the knowledge and the benefit of knowledge. These are all connections. We can say lots of connections we can talk about. Like in keeping with the which text we are discussing here. Isn't it? Suppose if we say karma kanda of the Veda. Now the connections are between things which are different. Very important for us to know these connections, all the connections. So for example, now we say the subject matter of the, now we say the textbook. Textbook is the, we can say, revealer. It reveals what? The fact of the essential oneness. What is revealed ultimately is the fact of the essential oneness of the individual and the total. Where, who reveals it? The textbook, isn't it? Therefore, the text is called, the text is revealer. The fact is revealed. Between the subject matter and the text, what are the revealer, revealed connection. In Sanskritam we say, pratipadaka, pratipadya sambandha. We are very clear, we are very sure. The text reveals, and what is revealed is this fact. This connection is what? Revealer, revealed, sambandha. Pratipadaka, pratipadya, sambandha. Similarly, we can say, when the knowledge takes place, knowledge rises, then the knowledge blesses me with what? Benefit. Because we are not really interested in jnanam. Who is really interested in jnanam? Or purushartha is not the knowledge of the truth. If purushartha is just the knowledge of the truth, nobody will break one's head to study really. Our purushartha, our what we want is moksha, freedom from limitations. What we want is freedom from sorrow. What we want is happiness. What we want is absolute peace and happiness. What we actually want is peace and happiness. We are not interested in knowledge. But when you understand relationship, the moksha I am seeking, the freedom from limitations that I am seeking, the freedom from sorrow, that happiness, that everlasting, permanent happiness that I am seeking is only in, is already there, it only in attaining the knowledge of the fact I can claim what is already there, isn't it? Only in knowing the nature of myself, I can discover that happiness. Therefore, happiness is my ultimate end, that is my purushartha, and for which knowledge is only, because only by knowing it I can claim the moksha. Therefore, I understand the connection, that why am I pursuing knowledge? Because jnanam, the knowledge I'm going to attain, I'm going to have through the study of the scripture, will bless me with the end I'm seeking, the moksha, isn't it? Therefore, moksha is the, what is to be finally accomplished through the attainment of knowledge. Knowledge itself is moksha. Even though knowledge is identical with moksha, knowledge is freedom. But knowledge is sought for moksha. We are not seeking moksha for knowledge, isn't it? We are seeking knowledge for moksha. Even though they are one and the same. Why do we say knowledge and moksha are identical? Because after attaining the knowledge of the self being pure consciousness, after attaining the knowledge of the self being identical with the whole, the pure consciousness, I need not do anything for happiness. The knowledge itself is happiness. Therefore, we say knowledge and moksha are identical. But really speaking, the knowledge is sought for freedom. Therefore, the sambandha between knowledge and the moksha. What is the sambandha connection? Sadhana sadhya sambandha. Sadhya means to be achieved, to be accomplished finally is the moksha. And to accomplish the already accomplished freedom, the happiness, the moksha, freedom from unhappiness and sorrow. Is it? What is a sadhanam? What is the means of accomplishing the happiness? Attaining the freedom. Knowledge, isn't it? Therefore, knowledge is the means between the knowledge and freedom. The connection is means and relationship is means and end relationship, isn't it? Sadhana sadhya sambandha. Is it clear? So the sambandha must be very clear. Which means when you the understanding of the sambandha also, relationship between all these factors is very important, so that you know the preciousness of your time you're spending, you know what you are doing. It is not an academic pursuit, it is a spiritual pursuit. You know the value of it, you know the preciousness of your time, and you know the importance of the study of the Shastram also. Therefore, it's very important to understand the connections, relationship. Is it clear now? Like that, we can talk about few more sambandhas also. But here, the teacher says, all the connections may not be discussed everywhere, but here he says, Aikya Prameyasya. Aikya Prameyam means what? Aikyam means essential oneness is Aikyam. Essential oneness of the individual and the total is called Aikyam. And that is what is to be known Prameyam. Isn't it? Prameyam. And that Pratipadaka Upanishad Pramanam. And Upanishad is what here? Upanishad is the text, Vedantic text, the scriptural text here, Upanishad, is the Pramanam, the means of knowledge. So between the fact revealed by the Upanishad, or between the subject matter of the text, Vedantic text, or the fact revealed by the text, and the very text itself, the connection is what he says, Bodhya Bodhaka Bhavaha. Bodhya Bodhaka Bhavaha means, Bodhya means revealed, Bodhaka means revealer. Bodhaka means that which brings to light. Bodhya means that which is brought to light. Is it clear now? That which is, so Bodhaka, that which brings to light. Here the Pramanam, Upanishad, the textbook is the Bodhakam. Bodhaka means it brings the fact to light. And what is brought to light is what? Bodhyam. So Bodhya Bodhaka Bhavaha means between the text and the fact revealed by the text, Pratipadaka Pratipadya Sambandaha, revealer revealed connection. Is it clear now? Clear or not? Revealer revealed connection means Pratipadaka Pratipadya Sambandaha. He calls it Bodhaka Bodhya Bhavaha. The whole text we are reading, we are going to study. The whole text, finally, what it needs to reveal is the essential oneness, which we do not know now. Therefore, that is the connection. And between what is revealed and the knowledge is what? No. There's a connection, is it? There's a knowledge of the fact. And then, between knowledge and moksha, there is sadhana sadhya sambandha. We are discussing everything. He only mentions only one sambandha. Don't worry. This sambandha, this particular anubandha, will become clearer and clearer and clearer as you study the text. Okay? Now, what you understood today is more than enough as beginners. So, now, let us go to last one. Prayojanam. Somehow, we have come to the fourth anubandha. Prayojanam. Prayojanam means benefit, phalam. The benefit of what? Benefit of the knowledge we attain through the study of the Vedantic text. Prayojanam tu. What is the benefit? He says. Tad aikya. Prameya gata tadaikya prameya gata ajnana nivrittihi. First he says, then swa swarupa ananda avaptihi cha tarati shokam atmavit ityadi shrutehe brahmavit brahmaiva bhavati ityadi shrutescha. So here he is telling the prayojanam, benefit. What does the knowledge do? See, by studying the Shastram, the Prama rises, the knowledge rises, isn't it? You attained the knowledge. That's fine. Once attained the knowledge of the essential oneness, attain the knowledge of the self being pure consciousness, Atma, and that consciousness being the truth of the whole, therefore, understand essentially everything is one and the same consciousness. There is no second reality other than consciousness. This we understand. Once you attain this knowledge, what does the knowledge do? So, for the first benefit of knowledge, what he says, Prameya gata ajnana nivrittihi. Ajnana nivrittihi. elimination of dispelling of removal of ignorance is first happens, isn't it? First benefit is what? Removal of ignorance. You have to say very correctly, okay? Once the knowledge takes place, means what it does is, in the rise of the knowledge, in the wake of the knowledge of the self being identical with Paramatma, the consciousness, what happens is ignorance gets dispelled. Ajnana nivrittihi. Ignorance of what? Ignorance of the self. That is very important. When the ignorance of the self gets dispelled, along with the ignorance, simultaneously, not one after the other, simultaneously, what goes along with the ignorance is what? Error in the perception of the self. Not that first ignorance goes and after some time the error goes. Isn't it? Along with the ignorance, ignorance caused problems. All the problems also resolve. Error in the perception of the self goes. Error in the perception of the world also goes. The world is a source of happiness. World is a source of security goes. Thereby, the perception of the world resolves. Error in the perception of the self resolves. Error in the perception of the world resolves. When the error is resolved, perception is resolved, then dependence upon the world also resolves. Dependence upon the world for one's happiness, security, also pleasure, everything resolves. When the dependence resolves, what happens? All other, everything else goes. The ignorance caused problems, the sense of inadequacy and a sense of smallness centered on I, all the wrong notions about the self in terms of I am small, I am a limited being, I am insecure, I am unhappy, I am a mortal, all the wrong notions we entertained about the self, all the wrong notions about the self resolve. Not after the other, okay? Simultaneously. Along with the knowledge, it also resolves. So in correction of the error in the perception of the self, then the wrong notions resolve. I'm repeating them because what I'm saying, what happens when the, in the wake of the knowledge, ajnana nivrittihi, removal of ignorance, and the ignorance caused problems also resolve. Then all other emotions also resolve. Which means there is absolute purity, there is absolute tranquility, there is absolute peace. Is it? Only everything goes means, my God, only all. We are saying that goes, ajnanam goes, adhyasa goes, adhyaropaha goes, asha goes, you know, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, matsarya, they all go. Go means what comes there? What is it which comes? Nothing comes to me or what? Really speaking, nothing comes. But still, as though it comes. No? What you attain, everything seems to be lost. Oh my God, I lost ignorance. What is gained here? What does the knowledge bless you with? That is said next. Swaswarupa ananda avaptihi. Ananda avaptihi. Ajnana Nivrittihi is equal to Dukkha Nivrittihi. Isn't it? Elimination of ignorance, dispelling of ignorance is in fact what now? Removal of the sorrow. Removal of self-ignorance is itself is what? Removal of the sorrow. Along with the ignorance, sorrow goes. Sorrow is caused by what? Dukkha nivrittihi. Sorrow resolves for good. Why? Because the sorrow is mainly caused by the erroneous self-perception, erroneous notions we entertain about the self, that I am small, I am inadequate, I am a mortal. All these notions, sorrow is mainly because of these wrong notions we entertain about the self. I tell you, if the wrong notions about the self are resolved, you cannot have sorrow there. You know what is sorrow really speaking? We think sorrow is because of this, because of this, because of that. We think sorrow, we think the sorrow is caused by so many things we do not have in life, or so many things which we don't want, they are with us also, we have sorrow. We think our sorrow is because of the possession and non-possession of certain things, or because relationship with the people. We always think our sorrow is caused by external factors. The bitter truth, the fact is, nobody in the world is responsible for your sorrow, your sadness, your grief. Nothing in the world, no external object, no human being, no other living being, nothing in the world, not even climatic conditions, nothing in the world is responsible for your unhappiness. This we have to remember, this is a fact. When we say when we are unhappy, we think this has not happened, this has not happened, this has not happened. We think our unhappiness is due to so many factors. Why are you unhappy? Why are you sad? Why do you look gloomy? Why do you have long face? Why have, you know? If you ask, people will immediately give a big list of things, situations. This is not okay, this is not okay, this is not okay, this is not okay, this is not okay. What is okay? Everything seems to be not okay. So, am I unhappy? Because we think, really speaking, all those not okay situations outside, only see instrumental, seemingly, no, instrumental for your unhappiness, really speaking, they are not responsible, they are not cause of your sorrow. What causes the sorrow? The cause of the sorrow is, you know, the wrong notions you entertain about yourself. That I am small, I am inadequate. The sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy centered on I, thereby the wrong notions you entertain about yourself is the cause for your sorrow. And that erroneous notion is caused by what? The self-ignorance. Therefore we say ignorance is the root cause of your sorrow. And the relative, absolute, understand now, actually, and ignorance causes the error in the perception of yourself, erroneous notions. Therefore, erroneous notions you entertain about the self are the, in fact, the error in the perception of yourself, the erroneous notion you have about yourself is the cause of your sorrow. If the error is corrected, the erroneous notion you have about yourself is resolved in the wake of knowledge, I tell you, your sorrow resolves along with the erroneous notions. Really speaking, resolving sorrow for good, but resolving the wrong notions you have about yourself is attainment of, the reclaiming of the happiness which is always there, already there. Understand? That's what ananda avaptihi. That is why the basic text now, you may think, we've been listening to the same thing for a long time. Swamiji is repeated, repeating, because this has to become very clear in your mind. Only then, quietly text after text will be studying, and the more we listen repeatedly, then slowly there'll be enhancing clarity. It's not just going to the class and sitting. No, I attended one full textbook, I finished. Even people come and ask, Swamiji used to tell, no? How long will it take, Swamiji? After 3 years course, if you finish, how long will it take for me to complete the Gita, Bhagavad Gita? Even if you read from the page 1 to the last page of all the 9 volumes of Gita Home Study now, which you have given you, you have not completed the text, okay? Even you have finished reading it, everything, page by page, sentence by sentence, word by word, you have studied also. It's not that. Until the clarity comes, there is no time limitation. Not 3 years course, not 4 years course, not 5 years course. It can be, you know, it depends upon how serious you are, how committed you are, how much time you spare. Not just the time. How much you see the value of the study. Isn't it? And how ready you are. What pratibandhas we have. All those things are there. But be given to the study, and somehow at least you are in the right track. Definitely. Hold on to Shastram tight. Don't leave it. That's all we can say. So what I want to say here is, Ajnana Nivrittihi is what now? Dukkha Nivrittihi. So the knowledge, what is the Jnana Palam? First Ajnana Nivrittihi, thereby what? Dukkha Nivrittihi. Dukkha Nivrittihi means what now? Swarupa Ananda Avaptihi. Avaptihi means, Nivrittihi means removal, elimination, isn't it? But here, avaptihi means attainment. Attainment of anandaha, fullness, happiness. Attainment of happiness means what? You may think attainment of happiness means, is happiness attained here? If anything which is attained, definitely will be lost. And are we really interested? Have we worked so hard to attain this happiness which we are going to lose again? It's something to be lost again. Why should we work very hard? Therefore, it is not something. Happiness, please understand, happiness is in fact a manifestation of fullness. The fullness is the very nature of yourself. Fullness is yourself. Your happiness is yourself. You are anandaha. Why? Because reality and happiness, reality and fullness are not two different things. Like how heat and fire are not two different things. I told this example even before. When you say, with reference to ocean, to remain full, to be full, the water need not do any effort, isn't it? Fullness with reference to the ocean is what? Water. What effort should the water do to fill the ocean? To be full of ocean. Being full is the nature of the water, the reality of the ocean. Isn't it true? Similarly, reality here, the consciousness is the reality. And with reference to the whole here, consciousness need not do anything to be full, which means what? To be all pervasive. Therefore we say fullness is of the nature, what no, consciousness is of the nature of fullness. Next, that manifestation of fullness is what? Happiness, we say. Therefore, here happiness, fullness, limitlessness, all synonyms, okay? Anandaha. And happiness is, but being happy means being limitless and being full, which means being free from unhappiness. So being limited is being unhappy, being sorrowful. Therefore here, the limit avaptihi means you do not attain the happiness. Attainment here is reclaiming of one's own, reclaiming of the happiness which is one's own nature. That's why swarupa ananda avaptihi. You are always happiness. You have been always fullness. You have been always happiness. Happiness cannot become happy. Understand? Happiness cannot become happy. Is it clear? Therefore, fullness cannot become full. Limitlessness cannot become limitless. Therefore, he says, so swarupa ananda avaptihi means attainment of happiness which is already one's own intrinsic nature is what? In fact, the benefit of knowledge. Understand? You don't attain happiness, you only discover happiness. The happiness which is your own real nature, the fullness which is your real nature, which remained as though covered by ignorance. Not really covered, okay? Remain as though covered by ignorance. And when ignorance is dispelled, what now? This fullness also becomes as though discovered. Covered by ignorance, now in removal, when the wake of the knowledge, the ignorance is removed, this happiness also becomes discovered. So discovery of the happiness, not as something newly attained, but as one's own swarupam, which means which was there before unknowingly and which is now known. For what now? Which is now, which will be there forever. Therefore, ananda avaptihi is what he says, ajnana nivrittihi, and swasvarupa ananda, not vishaya ananda. It is not pleasure or joy of any degree of joy which we experience through the enjoyment of a given object. It is not born of or attained through the enjoyment of an object. It is the happiness which is not attained, which is one's own swarupam. Swasvarupa, please underline the sentence. Swasvarupa ananda avaptihi is what? Ajnana prayojanam, jnana phalam. Is it clear now? Knowledge, the benefit of knowledge is removal of ignorance. Removal of ignorance implies what now? Removal of all the ignorance caused problems. When all the ignorance caused problems resolve along with the ignorance, so swarupa anandaha, which is already there, shines now. This is the as though attained. Therefore, ananda, so swarupa ananda avaptihi, The discovery of fullness, which is already there, is the absolute end, the benefit of the attainment of knowledge. Is it clear now? That we say, Jnanam is the sadhanam, moksha is the sadhyam. We want to sadhana sadhya sambandha. In fact, even the knowledge and moksha are identical. Knowledge is freedom, we say. And here, from the Chandogya Upanishad, the author presents a quotation, Tarati shokam atmavit. It's nice sense. Quotation you can remember always. Tarati shokam atmavit. Atmavit means the one who knows the self. The knower of the self overcomes sorrow, crosses sorrow. Tarati shokam. What does it mean here? One who does not know the self can never overcome sorrow. Irrespective of what one has achieved, what one has not achieved. Whatever you achieve in life, whatever you accomplish in your life, in terms of artha, kama, dharma, how much ever you accomplish, how much ever you achieve, still you will continue to be unhappy. Something or the other will make you see that you make you unhappy. The unhappiness, your attainment, your accomplishment. I'm not saying should achieve things in life. We have to really, in terms of artha, kama, dharma, we need to accomplish. I'm not saying should not achieve. But we should always remember, we have to achieve. There must be achievements in life, goals in life, nothing wrong. Other than knowledge of the self, whatever we achieve, we need to achieve, but still those achievements are only relative achievements. They may help you, have better life, more comfortable life, better infrastructure. It can improve your standard of your life. It can get you more name, fame, popularity, and everything it can get. But still, what those achievements, what cannot give you is fullness, nirev. Understand? One thing, all other achievements are very important you can achieve for the sake of those achievements. But never ever make efforts to achieve anything in the world for fullness and happiness. For fullness, for happiness, for everlasting, limitless happiness, for fullness, which you need not attain at all, which is already there, which needs to be discovered, for which knowledge is the only means, attainment of the knowledge of the self. You can never attain, you need not attain the self, you need not attain the reality, you need to attain the knowledge of the self. How far are you from yourself? How away, how far are you? How far away are you from yourself? What is the distance? You are. Therefore, you need not attain yourself. You cannot attain yourself. Therefore, you need to only discover yourself, which seems to be covered, isn't it? Therefore, discovering one's own self in terms of what I am. I know I am, but what I am in this, when this knowledge is complete, in complete knowledge of yourself, Aham Brahma Asmi. Aham Asmi, when it becomes complete, when you know Aham Brahma Asmi, I the self am limitless consciousness, the absolute reality of the whole. In the wake of this knowledge, the happiness, the fullness is what? Reclaimed, which is already your nature. Therefore, all other achievements, all other accomplishments are only relative ends. With absolute end, absolute accomplishment is the accomplishing the already accomplished. You are not really achieving it, isn't it? Achieving the already achieved. Therefore, this discovery of fullness, the fullness or happiness is only in discovering the self, knowing the truth of oneself. Therefore, and this is the only means. Therefore, Atma vith shokam tarati. One who knows the self overcomes sorrow, becomes free from sorrow for good. Not the accomplisher of so many things in life. This is from Chandogya Upanishad. Then, Brahma vith Brahma eva bhavati. See, you are already Brahma. You are already the absolutely, relatively, even though you say you are individual, absolutely the truth of I, the substance or substantive I, you are essentially, absolutely consciousness. You are already Brahma. You cannot become Brahma. You cannot become limitless reality. You are already limitless reality. This is a fact. Like wave is already H2O. Wave can never become H2O. Wave is already H2O. If the wave knows wave is H2O, then wave will know the entire ocean, all the waves being H2O. Can never become water, isn't it? Similarly here, you can never become limitless reality, the consciousness. You are already Brahma. But if you do not know you are Brahma, you are not Brahma. As though. If you know you are Brahma, you are Brahma. Therefore, in knowledge, you are Brahma. In ignorance, you are limited, miserable, sorrowful, lamenting, complaining, slogging individual. Therefore, all that you need is knowledge. He says, Brahma vith Brahma eva bhavati. The one who knows the absolute reality, limitless reality, Brahman, truth of the whole as one's own self, Brahma vith Brahma eva bhavati. He becomes the reality. Which means what? He doesn't become, he is already. What prevents you from being Brahman now? The infinite reality you are, but yeah, you are as though now limited individual. What prevents you now? It's not the body does not prevent you, mind does not, nothing prevents you. From, is it? It is your ignorance. It is ignorance which prevents you from claiming what you are already. Therefore, if you know, you need not attain anything, you can reclaim what you are already. Is it clear? Therefore, this is the benefit of knowledge. Jnana phalam, jnanasya prayojanam is what? Jnanena prayojanam is kim prayojanam? Jnana praptya ajnana nivrittihi, thereby shoka nivrittihi, dukkha nivrittihi. You can say what now? Swarupa anana. Swarupa, not somebody else's swarupa. I know Ananda, which is, you know, his swarupam or her swarupam. No. Swaroopa. Understand? Is one's reclaiming of one's own, reclaiming of happiness or fullness, not as an object, not as something newly attained, but as one's own already existing nature, Swarupa. Understand? This is the benefit. Prayojanam ityadi shrutehe. Now you can go home happily today. Why? At last we have covered four anubandhas. Because last week somebody asked me, my God, you said we are only still in the third qualification. He was saying that. Now we have completed this. Next class you understand, you will see the significance of Guru and the text Shastram again. Then the actual teaching will begin. Is it good to know? Yeah. So don't get frightened of Sanskrit words. I'm very cautious and conscious of not using, you know, I try my best. But sometimes still, you know, because you have to go with the text, you have to follow the text. As I told you, even people who listen to my classes on live streaming in different places, people who are in the class right in front of me, and all of you, I have a request to you, if you have any doubt, because this is the very, very, very fundamental basic text. This is not very high-flown Vedanta. Basic things we are teaching here now. Therefore, if you have any doubts here, any confusions here, and please be free to get them clarified, you can email me, or you can come on Skype and talk to me in person, or you can meet me in person, people in Beckenham, people in London, you can meet me in person and clarify doubts, or you can also email me even when I'm not here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.